I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yahoo Sports Hockey Podcast, Justin Cuthbert hanging out on Thursday, June 3rd, and three games into the third round of the conference finals of the 2022 Stanley Cup playoffs. And the story this morning is the Colorado Avalanche taking a 2-0 series lead over the Edmonton Oilers and moving to within two games or two wins of reaching the Stanley Cup final. And it feels like that coronation from Colorado, right? At least certainly in the Western Conference, but also probably as Stanley Cup champions if we are to pick a winner right now. This group is unbelievable. And what I do appreciate them maybe more than anything else is that the identity, at least up front, but a lot of it extends to the back end as well, is so consistent. It's odd to bring up Andrew Cogliano first when talking about all the talent on the Colorado Avalanche. And I kind of scratched my head when they brought him in. But what he is at the very bottom of the lineup is another player with speed who can, in his limited shifts, just keep the same attack going, keep things uniform for the Colorado Avalanche. Because what's clear when sizing up these two unbelievably fast teams, the Colorado Avalanche and the Edmonton Oilers, who play with a pace that really only themselves could maybe measure up to, is that Colorado is faster. The Avalanche are so fast that the fastest player in the world, Connor McDavid, gets a full head of steam, and their best defensemen, not just their best defensemen, their best defensemen, Cale Makar and Devontaes, who make up their top pairing, and the ones that are chosen for the McDavid matchup, can calmly and coolly stay in front of number 97 and make the play. There were two moments in game two, which the Avalanche won 4-0, by the way, where McDavid finally looked like he was going to break loose. Moments against other team where McDavid was guaranteed to make the point of attack on a netminder, but both Cale Makar and Devontaes were able to turn him away with ease. And really, I think that was what set the tone for this game, where it was just not going to happen, offensively at least, for the Edmonton Oilers. There was, however, some kind of strange strategy from Edmonton in the game, with Jay Woodcroft breaking up Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, spreading those two superstars across two lines. To this point, Draisaitl had been tethered to McDavid, mostly through necessity, right? Because he picked up that high ankle sprain late versus the Los Angeles Kings in round one and could no longer skate the way he needed to in order to hold down a center ice position. He was limited, but what he could do is hang out around the boards, pass the puck to McDavid, be the guy McDavid passes to. But at least, I guess, now that we've reached the second round or the second game of round three, Woodcroft and the training staff believes that Draisaitl's on the mend. So he decided, Woodcroft being that the Oilers needed a little bit more balance. They needed more balance to take on Colorado, to neutralize what Colorado had, to be able to create some sort of mismatch. But I think he was wrong. The Oilers, all I think they needed in game two was better goaltending in order to have a chance, which they got from Mike Smith. But the offense was disjointed with McDavid and Draisaitl apart, and the Oilers were limited to 24 shots, no goals, of course, were doubled in scoring chances. I think they spread themselves a little bit thin in the game. Now, Draisaitl is that guy, right? He can drive his own line. One of my Hart Trophy votes went to Draisaitl, fourth on my ballot. But he's not right now. And the Oilers stumbled into something pretty spectacular, probably beyond even their expectations, when they put together McDavid and Draisaitl, and it hurt them, I think, at least moving away from that. Meanwhile, Nazem Kadri just continues his redemption march, and he's continued to keep his nose clean. He picked up 3 primary assists over the space of 2 minutes and 4 seconds in the second period, which really turned the tide and was the sort of defining moment or moments of the game. Those 3 goals blew the game wide open. Colorado was not looking back from there. And for the Avs, Kadri's been that key driver of the secondary scoring. His hat trick versus the Blues really was the decisive moment in the series versus St. Louis. And now he has his signature game in the Western Conference Final. Any opponent that spreads themselves thin, like I think Edmonton did, well, it presents an opportunity for the Avalanche through Kadri, who has figured this whole thing out, it seems, obviously after a couple really disappointing ends to his postseasons. And good for him, because listen, Toronto Maple Leafs have convinced themselves here after their latest postseason disappointment to be patient, to trust Shanahan and Dubas and Keith and the core, that they'll be able to get over the hump, that they'll be able to fix and right the wrongs. But where was that patience for Nazem Kadri? Why was it reflexive with Nazem Kadri? A couple years ago, they needed to trust their own ability to work with the athlete. Instead, they shoved him out the door and into a better position with the Colorado Avalanche. Patience now, I guess, for the Maple Leafs, because it's convenient for them, right? You know, I think the Leafs made, if they've made a mistake in this tenure, it's parting with Nazem Kadri, who is going to make himself, who has already made himself a lot of money, but is going to make another team happy when he goes in free agency, likely this summer. Anyway, Pavel Francouz had the shutout for Colorado. And if it's Colorado and New York, just a slight tangent here, at risk of embarrassing myself, I think we need to set the pronunciations right on Francouz and Lafreniere. Just a suggestion, because we are, as hockey media people, to a man and woman, butchering those two names right now. And I think on the biggest stage, we should probably have them right. But for Francouz, the moment was too big for him a couple years ago in the bubble, when it looked like Colorado made a real critical error not addressing their goaltending. And it might just be too big for Francouz if it's him in the Stanley Cup final versus Igor Shesterkin or Andre Vasilevsky, assuming the Avalanche do in fact get there. But this is a quality backup netminder. And with that extra attention that goes into the defensive game plan when there's a backup in net for a lockdown defensive team at their best like Colorado, that might be when they're at their best. The Avalanche are mighty scary when they have an attention to defense, because that offensive stuff, well, it comes pretty easily to them. Quickly to New York and Tampa Bay, who have game 2 tonight being Friday, at Madison Square Garden. Game 1, very interesting game. And I think one that should be validating for the Rangers. It saw Igor outplay Vasilevsky. But I don't think it's a game that should necessarily change the way we think about the Lightning. That's because I think, you know, the game conditions really favored the Rangers, scoring early, producing goals immediately after allowing them. I'm not sure that's a repeatable thing in games 2 and beyond, but staying out of the penalty box was big too. I mean, the Tampa Bay Lightning do some of their best work on the power play, and of course didn't really get those opportunities early. They can, like the Lightning, hold the lead. So getting the lead was important for them. And expecting the Tampa Bay Lightning to come back for a third time in the game, because they did tie it twice, is probably too much to ask from them. So the resolve will be tested for Tampa Bay. You know, they're, 18 and wins in a row now after a loss in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And the expectation probably should be that Tampa Bay does even the series. But the Lightning do look a forward short, like quite literally they are a forward short, that one forward being Braden Point. But they were playing with 11, so they are a one forward short, and that meant more Corey Perry, more Pat Maroon and Pierre-Edouard Belmar minutes when you're down to 11 forwards and when dealing with life without Braden Point. It's almost inconceivable that they tore through the Panthers in the manner that they did without Braden Point. But as you know, but like it is with the Rangers, or like it has been at least in game 1 with the Rangers, the game states managed to favor the Lightning in each of those games versus the Florida Panthers. They could favor the Bolts again in game 2 and beyond, or the Rangers could get exactly what they need again, like the Bolts had in 4 straight games versus Florida, which probably mean that Tampa's run is finally over. Because unlike previous Lightning teams, there is a difference between what we have now and what we had maybe even before they figured things out in the NHL. I'm not sure that they're a team that's equipped to chase games. They're less like the Lightning that had that historical season but lost to Columbus for good and bad reasons. And the Avs now, and, you know, I think Tampa now is like that intelligent team that lies in the weeds and strikes when it needs to because it knows how to deal with these situations. They're not like the Avalanche, and they're not like they were before. There are penalties associated with the salary cap after all. And finally, Daryl Sutter named Jack Adams winner, and rightfully so. And if you've been listening to this podcast, you know we cashed a big ticket on Daryl Sutter plus 2,500 to win the NHL's Coach of the Year. I believe we got that in late November, and that will be the gem of the entire season. And that's with this podcast still waiting on a plus 1,900 ticket for Igor Shesterkin to win the Vezina Trophy. More awards to be given out in short term, Selke, Lady Bing, before June 21st, we get all the major winners. The Hart, Vezina, the Norris, the Calder, all that fun stuff. And we'll be here to cover it all this weekend with Julian McKenzie, some game threes and game fours on deck. And of course, we'll be back next week to update you on where these series are on the Yahoo Sports Hockey Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.